are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Hello, one and all, and welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast, where heavy metal is the law and court is always in session. I'm your host, Dual Guest, and on this episode, we're going to be recounting all of the best black metal releases of 2023 so far, according to us, your friendly neighborhood Fundamentalist Podcasters. Now, obviously, there's a lot of metal that comes out in any given year. There's a lot of black metal that comes out in any given year. And there's certainly way more than a small shoestring budget operated pod like ours can cover. So if there's anything that you feel like we missed at the end of the episode, let us know at the Fundamentalist Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, or at the Fundamentalist Podcast at gmail.com. I'm joined, as always, by my friend, Richard Donahue. How are you?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm fan-fucking-tastic, sir. Ready to dive into all this really killer black metal that we've been treated to so far in the year 2023. Before we get into it, though, what you been listening to?
Upon your advice, and I've seen Candlemass recently, I have been diving into the Rob Lowe era of the band. So I started off with a King of the Grey Isles, which... overall, I thought was a really killer record. There was definitely, you know, songs that were really great, some that were just, you know, good, and very much enjoyed that one. But the record that I really blew my mind would have to be, without doubt, their second record with Rob Lowe, which would be Death Magic Doom. Yes, Death Magic Doom. And just first half of this record, I'd say it's fucking phenomenal. I mean, If I Ever Die, he starts off with this epic, almost like Conan the Barbarian type vibes. Goes straight to the Hammer of Doom with probably the catchiest chorus, on the whole album, the Bleeding Baroness, which just,
yes,
je ne sais quoi. And then Demons of the Deep, just this fucking record.
House of a Thousand Voices, like that three tracks, like back to back to back, the Bleeding Baroness, Demons of the Deep, and House of a Thousand Voices are like the high watermark on the high watermark album for Candlemass. Like, that is the peak of Candlemass, in my opinion.
It's definitely on up there. And as well as in 2 weeks, I'll be seeing a band I've been a fan of for a while, Visigoth from, I believe, Salt Lake City, Utah. They're a heavy metal, power metal type band. And their first track of the Revenant King still just completely just kicks ass. Catchy, heavy, memorable as all hell. And very excited to finally see them live. And finally, Metal Threat, the fest attended in Chicago this year, they already announced the lineup for this year. They actually announced God the Throne, which, man, I thought I would never fucking be able to see. So I went back to their Passchendaele record from 09. And it was the first one of their World War One trilogy. It still rules. Kicks ass, heavy. There's actually a few clean vocals on there here and there, but it's never too much. Not like some kill switch, like operatic type shit. Just like to fit the emotionality of the song. And yeah, if you're never listed God to Throne and want a good entry point, I would say that'd be a good place to start in their discography. What about yourself, Duel?
So as I am prone to do, I went back and listened to a fuckload of the Misfits just because I'm obsessed. There's never a bad time to listen to the Misfits. There's so many great singles. You all know them. Skulls, Night of the Living Dead, London Dungeon, We're Eagles There. You could go on and on and on and on. Yeah, you could go on and on. There's not a bad Misfit song in the Glenn Danzig era. And so I was listening to a lot of that. I was also listening to Ibaraki Rashomon, that debut from Matt Hafey's black metal styled experimental metal band that we were really, really huge on. I hadn't listened to it in a little while, and I was just falling back in love with that record all over again. And then since on the last episode, our dearly departed Peter mentioned that he was listening to Woods of Ypres, I decided to go a little bit against the grain. Instead of listening to Woods 4 and 5, which was a little bit of a debate on which one was better, I went back to the beginning. Started off with Woods 1, technically the EP Against the Seasons. Yeah. Tracks like The Sea of Immeasurable Loss and A Meeting Place of Time hit completely differently than a lot of the material in their later discography. But goddamn, if it's not more in tune with David's black metal soul, which instantly makes it more relatable to me. That's what I've been listening to. If any of you have not heard that old Woods of Ypres, you need to check that shit out. You can hear our thoughts on it on an old Under the Knife that we did on Woods of Ypres. I highly recommend that you check that out as well. Get into a lot of different detail on just how prolific of a musician David Gold was, not only with Woods of Ypres, but with bands like Slaughter of the Soul and the East Ontario Black Metal Preservation Society, and other interesting tidbits about his life, music, and just what kind of dude he was. Also, listeners, big apologies. I know you can probably hear with my voice that I'm a little under the weather as far as my nose being stopped up there. So the voice is going to be a little bit more nasally than usual, but you know, I'm sure you'll deal with it. Let's move on into the main reason why we are here. And that is to let you all know, in our opinion, what the best black metal releases of 2023 have been so far. Disclaimer, a couple of these on the list we have already mentioned on the podcast. Some we have actually straight up reviewed. And so I'm going to start with them, and I'm not going to go too far really into detail with them. If you want to check them out, you can go check on some of the past episodes of this year for our full review. First off is Hellripper from Scotland, their latest release, Grim Warlocks and Withered Hags. Fantastic black and roll, black thrash release. This band is really starting to grow into their own. I feel like everything about this record really evolved from the latest one. The one before, Affair of the Poisons. Fantastic leads, the riffs.
Yes.
Just absolutely magical. Makes you want to bang your head. Just a great time. Just denim and leather on stage screaming about Satan. Good stuff. Good stuff.
All killer, no filler, dude. Highly recommend.
That's right. Also, we have Imperium Decadens from Germany, their most latest release, Into Sorrow Evermore. We also covered on a previous episode. This one's a little bit more atmospheric, much more brooding, much more emotional than Hellripper. Much like all the other Imperium Decadens releases, and it's fantastic, like the other Imperium Decadens releases. Highly recommend you check it out if you are a fan of atmospheric black metal. Lastly, another bit of a review mention is Heimdall, the latest release from Enslaved. Now, anybody who's been paying attention to Enslaved's career over the last 10, 15 years knows that they don't do straight up black metal anymore. If anything, they kind of make it a point to continue to push the boundaries of black metal and what can be considered black metal a little bit more each time. Heimdall is no exception. And like the other releases, it's an absolute triumph, not only for black metal, but for heavy metal in general. It's a great little black metal experiment, one that I think newcomers to black metal can get into, but as well as people who have been listening to Enslaved for a long time or who just want a slightly different take on black metal. Even the purists, I think, can find something to dig in that record.
Definitely. I hadn't listened to them really since Reiter in 2011. It kind of got me back on the train. I've been off the train for years, so obviously doing something right.
So that's going to about do it for our review of the black metal that we've already talked about. These next couple of albums are all ones that we've either only briefly mentioned on the podcast, maybe in a what we've been listening to segment, or not at all. But we really, really think that you should be checking them out. Let's start off with the latest, Dust from Thrawn. Thrawn is a black metal band from Germany around the Black Forest in Baden-Württemberg. Their release from 2021, Pilgrim, made my top black metal releases of 2021. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Their track, Hosanna in the Highest, was an earworm. So when I saw that the band was coming back in 2023 with their latest release, Dust, I was very, very excited. And my excitement has proven to be well-founded. Almost every track on this record is really fucking killer. Richard had mentioned previously on the pod that he was a little disappointed in it, but I am happy to report that I disagree wholeheartedly. Starting off in the very beginning with Dying in the Mud, tracks like Return, The Tyranny of I, Face of Despair, and the closing track, Martyr. There's so many winding black metal melodies, really fist-pumping sections as well. There's also a nice mix of classical heavy metal influence that you find on tracks like True Belief and The Golden Calf.
Yes.
Like straight out of Merciful Fate and Judas Priest type stuff. Richard, off the air, you and I were discussing how we were enjoying the lyrical content here too. Not quite the typical black metal fail of sacrificing virgins and hailing Satan.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of deals with, you know, but a more, I guess, intelligent way, the breakdown of religion and its effect on people, and just really about the human condition. It's just something cool and unique, and I wish more black metal bands would do, honestly.
In that vein, also lyrically strong, Dying in the Mud, The Tyranny of I, and Martyr. Really, I could highlight almost every single track on this
pretty
record
much, yeah,
for being killer. If you look at their monthly listens on Spotify, it's less than 4,000. Firmly tier 5 level black metal band, as we have established here on the Fundamentalist podcast. You should be in that number of monthly listeners for Thrawn, their latest release, Dust. Check that shit out. Richard, what about you? You have a release you want to go with next?
I mentioned it briefly on our last episode on my what we're listening to, but the new Necrofire record. As you all know, the Prophecy of Eternal Darkness, their first one, was on my top 10 of 2021. I was very excited to hear this new one, especially the fact they went with a... said the producer did like Unsane and Tom Waits, so definitely more like a mainstream type person. So I thought, I was a little afraid it's going to be very, it's almost too polished, the magic's going to be gone. But I have to say, they completely proved me wrong in the best way possible. Like, the production definitely is beefier for sure. The drums, a little plasticky, can't say I'm the biggest fan of the drum sound, but the melodies got better, the songwriting's even better, the atmosphere, it's basically... Essentially, it's everything I loved about the first record turned up to 11. So
this is going to be a little bit of a theme that you'll hear on many of these releases, but their Dissection is obviously a huge influence on this band. You can see it from the song titles as well as in the music itself. I'm a big fan of the opening track with like the almost operatic falsetto vocals, The Fall from Heaven. It does a really nice job of setting the stage of fallen angels in a world in decay and despair that the rest of the tracks really push, I suppose. There's some really great fist pumping melodic black metal riffage like Forbidden Light of the Black Sun and Whispers That Burn in the Dark, or Whispers That Burn in the Shadows. Really, really fucking killer. I'm a big fan of the album titled Burning Shadows in the Southern Night. This band is from Houston, Texas, I believe it is. Correct. And it's always nice to see a black metal band instead of making references to the frozen north. Down south, we like black metal too. But thanks for shining a light on guys, and Necrofire. Let's stick to the southern United States for the next release. We mentioned this in the previous episode, and that is Cloak. Cloak comes to us from Atlanta, Georgia. Now, they had been putting out a steady diet of solid black and roll. However, their most recent album, Black Flame Eternal, kind of takes things in a more traditional black metal direction. Very welcomingly so, I think, in my opinion. The track like With Fury and Allegiance, the second track, really, really shines above almost everything else on the record. The singles like Invictus, really, really great, but Heavenless and With Fury and Allegiance really stand out on this record. And as I already mentioned previously, I appreciate the extra detail and attention they pay to the traditional black metal as opposed to the more goat whore influenced stylings of previous releases.
Yeah, I think it's the songwriting overall. This record's fantastic. I love every song ebb and flows. He does a lot. I've noticed this record especially has a lot more like the kind of whispery talk vocals, which kind of can help build up like atmosphere and levity and things of that nature. But
definitely feels like a more fleshed out vision overall, more of an experience.
Yeah, definitely. This is the first one I've checked out since the first one. The first I did like a lot was very standard black and roll. It's nothing like, I would say great, but it's very killer awesome. But this one, I feel like they're definitely stepping forward, like the having their own identity. And that's something, creating something that could be considered timeless in the future, whereas other two, not so much.
Let's talk about the final United States black metal band that we're going to cover on this particular episode, and that is Minnenwerfer. Now, for those of you who are initiated into this band, you might be familiar with their atmospheric black metal classic Alpenpass, and might be expecting a little bit more of the same, a little more somber, a little more epic, a little more brooding and contemplative style of atmospheric black metal. Well, considering they're a World War I themed band, they wanted to reintroduce the chaos of war on this record, shall we say. Feuerwaltz is an absolute kick in the teeth from start to finish. For an atmospheric black metal band, the only atmosphere here is fucking pain from the get-go. From start to finish, it grabs you by the throat and does not let go. Way less drawn out than their previous releases, but no less effective. Killer slab of USBM. Highlight track is External Attrition for me. Richard, you were also a big fan of this record, yeah?
Yes, definitely, because I heard Philippia Alpha Pass. It's just, oh, it's killer black, but let's do it. It's like, wow, this is a lot more like post-metal and like atmospheric than I expected. And so I expected more to say of this one. I was like, God damn, it's like this got a brick and slapped me in the fucking face. Great riffs, just furious start to finish. Like, one thing I noticed on this record that I don't hear in a lot of black metal, but this legit has great fucking solos. They're shreddy, they're memorable, there's earworms, there's hooks that stick in you, and combined with the furiousness and it being memorable, it seems that black metal does not happen. It's a 50-50 chance, but this one definitely is catchy and, you know, makes you want to listen to it over and over again. Instead of it just being a blur of just blast beats and screaming, which a lot of black metal can find itself to be, in my opinion at least.
Absolutely. Let's hop the pond and go to a more traditional hunting ground for black metal, and that's the frozen north of Norway. Norway is obviously no stranger to black metal, considering the genre originated there. One of the progenitors of the genre, at least one of the bands that helped popularize it in the early to mid-90s, Immortal, is back with a new release. Now, for some of the purists out there whose eyes just rolled, I would say not so fast. Just because the original lineup is no longer together, their latest release, War Against Awe, is still a worthy addition to their discography, I would argue. The singles War Against Awe and War God, I think, are really fucking killer, as is Blashreep, My Throne, and Return to Cold. Maybe it's not reinventing the wheel. Maybe it's not the greatest Immortal release that's ever, you know, that's been put out, obviously. How could it be? But for those people shitting on it and saying it's an insult to the legacy or how it's not real Immortal, I really don't know how you can say that, because there's some fantastic riffs on here, great songs, tons of energy, and the aggression is there, as is a lot of the really killer frozen melodies that you come to expect from Immortal. There's just enough here that I would say this is even one of their better releases, honestly. Which I didn't expect to say.
I actually dig this one. I've only heard the singles. I did enjoy them quite a bit, but I did say the previous record for 2018, Nor the Chaos Gods, is a great return to form. And if any of y'all have not checked that out, I highly recommend it. It blows their comeback from 2009, All Shall Fall, clear out the fucking water. It is fucking great.
Don't sleep on the instrumental, Nordlander. Just saying, 7 minutes, right. Instrumental. Good shit. Highly recommend. War Against All from Immortal. You can't go wrong. Even if you fucking think you can, you fucking assholes.
You piece of shit.
Let's leave Norway and go right next door. This next release comes to us from Sweden. The band is called Gra. And their release, Lycaon, L-Y-C-A-O-N. Sorry if I butchered the pronunciation. Gra simply just means gray. The band's been around since 2010, and this is their fourth full-length release. Right from the start, the first track, White City Devil, you'll be taken by the fact that this is a little bit more of a mid-tempo take on black metal. And before you roll your eyes, and before you immediately fast forward to the next band when I say this next sentence, it almost sounds like if black metal was made for the radio. I'm serious. Some of the leads sound almost straight up new metal, but the black metal snars are totally there. The atmosphere is there. It's just a little bit more accessible. Not to say that blast beats aren't there. They are on tracks like Flame of Hephaestus, but they definitely take a back seat to a more restrained style of black metal. But goddamn, especially in the title track, by Kayan of the album, fucking awesome. There's also a really cool cover of Chariots of Fire from Bathory on this record as well. This was one of the latest additions to this list, but I'm really glad that I decided to take a listen to this. Fun.
I only have one question, though. Is there record scratching on it?
No, I'm afraid there's no record scratching. No masks. There's still talk of mysticism and death and all that sort of stuff. You know, not reinventing the wheel in that way, but... just a little bit more of an accessible, an accessible take on black metal. It's okay, guys. We can bring more people under the tent. We don't have to always gatekeep.
gatekeeper death.
We know that's your slogan here, but for the rest of you, this is a nice jumping off point. If you're not super into the black metal, maybe you're wondering, why the fuck am I even listening to this black metal themed episode anyway? This is a nice jumping off point. What's not a nice jumping off point, and what might be a bridge too far, whether you're a black metal purist or a black metal newcomer, is anarcho black metal. And that's exactly what Dawn Raid from the UK brings you. They have their latest album, To Know the Light, that just came out in March, I believe it was. As I mentioned, Dawn Raid is very much focused on left-wing politics, like labor issues and class revolution. Also, with plenty of Lord of the Rings references in there. Their tracks like The Battle of Southern Flame and Go as Free Companions were released as singles earlier in the year, and we covered them on the podcast. I'm happy to report that the rest of the record is really cool. There's like accordion and like violin and some odd instrumentation that you wouldn't necessarily expect to find on a black metal record. It kind of enhances its folk black credentials in that sense, you could say. But I think that's really fucking cool. And maybe politically speaking, I'm a little more aligned with what they're selling. But even if you're not, I think there is plenty of interesting music to be found on this record. Some people are a little turned off by the vocals, but it's black metal, man. If you can get into the vocals in other black metal, you can get into the vocals here. So I mentioned in the last episode that Thalcondra is almost a Dissection parody band with Done With Love. Done With Love. They're not taking the piss at all. But considering that Dissection is unfortunately no longer around because of their ultimate victory, quote unquote, Thalcondra is the closest thing we have to Dissection. And God knows there's plenty of vires for that throne. God knows we've covered a few of them on this podcast already. But no one comes close to Thalcondra. I mentioned on the last episode that it feels like sometimes they're trolling the audience, like they are straight up playing a Dissection cover at times. And then they change it just enough to prevent getting sued. But on this release, there's a little bit more of a character coming out here, emerging from the shadow, so to speak. A shadow that they very intentionally dwell in, I should say. There's some black and roll that comes in here. That's really cool, like on the track On the Wings of Cosmic Fire.
Yep.
Blood of Slaves is fucking awesome. Yes. In Darkness We Descend, As I Walk Through the Gates, and Acheronian Cult. There's really not a bad track on this record. And if you, like me, are wanting more Dissection and you'll never get it, Thalcondra is the best you're going to do. And as blasphemous as it is to say, I do Dissection better than Dissection at times. And for those of you who are politically inclined, there are no problematic beliefs and or murders that you need to take into account when you listen to their music. Now, we definitely subscribe to the concept of separating art from artists on this podcast. But for those of you who don't, Thalcondra is a nice diet Dissection that tastes just like the real thing. You have some thoughts on this record.
Yes, it's fucking fantastic. This is really the first record I've listened to since the very first one, Fallen Angels Dominion.
Yes.
Dave, yes. So that one I enjoyed a lot. The follow-up I felt was a little too, like, okay, I get it. And other tracks here and there that I did enjoy, but this one here probably seems like they are developed their own character while being super mega influenced by Dissection. So it's kind of second everything Duel said there. It's about as close as you're going to get. And it still has all the atmosphere, all the acoustic guitars, all the melody, all the blasphemous, evil angel goodness.
This next band comes to us, I believe they're from Denmark, and that's Ofsky. Their release, Om 100 Ar, I think it just means 100 years. Sorry if I butchered that pronunciation, is a heaping slab of folk atmospheric black metal. I was able to see Ofsky actually with Panopticon and Grift late last year in Berlin. They have a really, really a somber take on the atmospheric black metal genre, which I know you might be thinking, no shit, who doesn't, bro? To which I would point you to Minimorpher earlier. But this one is nice. It's like a frontier atmospheric black metal. It's like if you were settling the Old West, sitting in front of a fire after a long, hard day's work on the farm. This is what you want to be listening to. Ofsky. Came out on March 15th. And go back and listen to a lot of their other stuff. Really good. Finally, I'm not sure if anyone got a chance to check it out on this pod, but the latest from Mork Dipet came out on the 24th of March. We covered Mork's last release, Catedralen. It was a big hit here on the podcast, especially with Peter Bogg. And if you're a fan of the previous Mork releases, I think you'll probably be a fan of Dipet.
I'll actually be seeing them next year at Maryland Death Fest, so that's actually pretty cool. Very stoked to be able to catch them.
Richard, do you have any other black metal releases that you feel like the listeners have been perhaps woefully unaware of that you would like to enlighten them on?
Unfortunately not, I'll be honest.
Fair enough. Now, before we wrap up this whole list, we want to take a quick look forward. These are some black metal releases that have not yet been released. Maybe some singles are out. Maybe nothing has been released, but you can bet your ass that we here at the Fundamentalist Podcast are looking forward to them, and you will definitely be hearing more about these records in the very near future. Before we take a trip back to the pond, back to the land of the red, white, and blue, let's focus on a more recent darling of the podcast, and that's Moonlight Sorcery. I believe they come to us from Finland. Yes. They're a keyboard-driven, downright danceable take on black metal was a huge hit for us with their first two EPs that came out last year. And finally, they have another release coming out called In Burning Embrace, I believe in August. They've only released two singles so far, the eponymous track In Burning Embrace, as well as a cover of Deep Purple's Burn. They both slay, but particularly the original track just makes you want to bang your head, but you can also move your body a little bit with it too. It's so groovy. It's 80s cheese, classic style heavy metal mixed with these frostbitten melodies. Man, Dick, they're one of my favorite new bands that I've found in black metal here recently.
Definitely. It's one of the, probably, I would say it's my most anticipated black metal record of the year. Unless someone else pops up. So far, this is the one that I am all ready for.
Going back home to close out the episode, we're going to talk about two upcoming USBM releases. One of them is Black Braid 2. Now, Black Braid 1 made my top 10 albums of last year. I think it was on two of our lists, actually, and it also made it on the Black Metal episode as well. There have been two singles released from Black Braid 2, The Spirit Returns, as well as Moss Covered Bones on the Altar of the Moon. The first Black Braid album was almost slightly metalcore. It was a little straightforward. But this one is a little bit heavier than last time. It's much more harder hitting chords are being used, a little bit more of an epic feel. I think they're honing in a little bit more on what they want Black Braid to be. And by they, I mean he, Black Braid, I believe, is actually just a one-man project from Ska Gasawaya. Obviously, they're like a Native American-themed black metal band, so their themes deal with Native Americans, indigenous American mythology, nature, and Native American paganism. They're from the Adirondack Mandans. They are from the Adirondack Mountains in New York. They made news here recently for their van breaking down and needing to set up a GoFundMe to get back home, which was very unfortunate. So here's to better luck in the future for them, not only on the road, but for Black Braid 2. Finally, to cap it all off, one of my favorite bands of all time, Black Metal Darling, perhaps the standard bearer when it comes to United States black metal, Panopticon, is finally coming out. I should say finally coming out. They just put out And Again Into the Light in 2021 and an EP, The End is Growing Near, in 2022. They have a new record coming out also in September. I don't think they've released the title of it yet, or at least if they has, I didn't see it. But if you're a fan of atmospheric black metal, if you're a fan of US black metal, if you're a fan on any sort of folky pagan takes on black metal, or any sort of combination of the above, Panopticon is for you. Austin Lunn is God. All hail Panopticon. Anything else you think that the listeners need to be aware of coming out later this year, Richard?
In the black metal realm, no, to be honest with you. So,
okay. Thank you very much for joining us on this exciting but brief excursion into the world of black metal. If there are any releases that we have been woefully unaware of here on the podcast, hit us up on the Facebook and Instagram pages or at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for joining, Richard.
No problem.
And I've been your host, Dual Guest. Thank you for listening, and we'll be speaking with you next time.